Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
Hey everybody, welcome to Breaking Free. Today we're talking about holiday boundaries. And we've talked about boundaries in the past. Yeah. But we wanted to specifically talk about
body boundaries.
Body boundaries. And also some of the, you know, just some of the kind of
food boundaries.
Food boundaries, yeah. And some of the challenges around all the overwhelm in the holidays and learning how to say no to things, right?
Yeah. No is a complete sentence. I think it is, but I think that there's too much nuance to be so black and white about that. I think it's really important that we do look at how holiday boundaries are a little bit different to all the other boundaries that we have to set. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. And so, Liv, I know you were excited to talk about this. So what was kind of the driver behind that?
I think the big driver for me is that this has been the most painful lesson, or one of the most painful lessons. You know, the longer I'm in recovery, the more I realize that all recovery is relational. And, you know, our deepest wounds are typically our family of origin wounds, right? So, you know, going home at the holidays or going home at any time really can be challenging for me, but particularly around the holidays because there's a lot of expectation. You know, now that I'm living in America, I go back much less. And, you know, some people try and make things to be a certain way and that doesn't allow for people and themselves. So it can be really challenging, you know. Recovery is a family recovery as much as addiction is a family illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. We're really kind of trying to heal ourselves, but we also are needing to heal our relationships with others. And a lot of times we're having a big impact on our family, or we're wanting to have a big impact on our family. And it sometimes feels like we're not able to have the kind of impact that we want or need.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, we all grow at varying degrees and at various paces, and you know, and that changes throughout recovery. Some people don't subscribe to the view that a whole family needs a recovery, and, you know, there can just be this focus, and I'm not saying this is a situation for me, but there can be this focus, generally speaking, where it's just the sick person, right? You know, i.e. the person with substance use disorder. But, you know, typically you'll find that someone with substance use disorder is in a relationship with somebody who suffers with codependency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to focus on that one person with substance use disorder is not really helpful to the entire relationship.
Yeah.
In my particular situation, you know, I do have family members in recovery, which helps. But, you know, there's a lot of damage that happened on both parts. And, you know, I come from a broken family too. I ended up growing up in the UK because of my dad's addiction. Family stuff around the holidays is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think what I find most challenging is that I feel like, do Americans say the black sheep of the family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I do feel like the black sheep of the family. You know, my communication style is completely different. My value system is completely different. What is meaningful to me is different.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, so for example, a lot of my family members are doctors and really high achievers and have, you know, quite academically minded. So success to them is very different to how I have progressed with my life and what success looks like for me. So, you know, it's very easy to look at how I'm different than to focus on the fact that everybody is different and how that might feel for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, what kind of came to mind was the feeling of being other. And, you know, my experience is that I felt other and, you know, I actually had a different biological father than, you know, so I wasn't raised with that family. And so it was interesting to find out like, oh, I actually am other. But I've heard this echoed a lot from people in recovery of feeling other than, you know, their family and feeling so different and not feeling seen or heard or celebrated in their family growing up and how hard that really was, how much of a struggle that created.
I totally relate to that.
Yeah. So,
and yeah, I was just thinking about the heard piece. That's actually the crux of it. You know, I have always felt unheard because we speak different languages. You know, my parents would get frustrated, like, we're trying to talk to you, and I would just be mute. And I continue to be that way. Sometimes it's like an inbuilt coping mechanism for me is I will just silence myself. So, you know, other behaviors come out. So I might eat more, or I might, you know, want to spend, I need to spend more time in my room. And that is pointed out too. So it's really challenging to try and find a happy medium between, you know, speaking your truth to honor who you are, but also protecting yourself at the same time.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that just this morning, that I want to invest in relationships in my life where I do feel seen and celebrated, and where I feel that I see the other people and I am able to celebrate them, because I've been on, you know, both ends of that, right? And it was a really interesting, I was actually journaling about it, and then I was worried that I was going to lose it. So I actually almost posted about it on Facebook, but it felt a little too private, you know, still to be sharing that publicly, although here I am.
Right. But this feels different. It feels like our conversation.
Yeah,
right?
It's more intimate. And I feel like our listeners are so in, you know, in support of us being vulnerable. I feel really blessed. And actually, we're going to be having an episode coming up where we're going to talk about the gifts that this and what we've learned from this podcast. And so watch out for that one. And actually, next week, I believe, will be the episode where we talk about creating a nurturing space for yourself during the holidays. And so, you know, definitely check those ones out. But yeah, I love this, the way that this, the beginning of this conversation is going. I didn't really expect it to go there. But
no, I didn't. And that's what I love about our podcast, is it's like therapy, you know, when you have those light bulb moments, like, oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, it's the herd piece for me. But also just what you said about being on the other side, and, you know, just as I feel unheard, I'd imagine my family do too, because I shut down. So they can't communicate.
This is why we're friends. This is exactly why we're friends. I've totally shut down in past relationships.
Same. I'm just like this. And I try. And I think that's the really difficult piece, is I feel like the onus, you know, I am an adult child of alcoholics. And, you know, there is an ingrained, you know, ingrained mechanism within me to try and make everything okay when someone is upset. So, you know, and that takes a long time to change. So when I see that somebody is upset in the family, I will do everything I can to try and change that. And that means trying to communicate in a different way.
The interesting thing, you know, you mentioned the being the adult child. At the beginning of this conversation today, I was really thinking about that laundry list and how that is something that really impacted me in a really powerful way, realizing that a lot of these dynamics really go back to the family of origin, and that I'm kind of stuck in these patterns. And so I've worked really hard to shift some of those patterns, but they they still show up, and it is important to acknowledge that they're there. And that laundry list, I can make sure we put it in the show notes, was really powerful for me to see.
Yeah, it is. It is really powerful. And actually, I've just pulled it up. When I first read that, I was horrified. We should have an episode on adult children of alcoholics. And I was just saying, I shudder when I hear the word alcoholic because of all the work we've done around language and bias.
We're referring to their program, and that's what their program is called. But and it's really the dysfunction piece that they're referring to. And they even say, you know, even if you don't have a family member that you would identify as an alcoholic, that the adult children of a dysfunctional family, right?
Yeah. So it also applies to mental illness and various other like dysfunctional families. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the holiday piece of trying to find a different way to communicate to try and make everything okay, just ends up, you know, I become more frustrated and I speak louder and you can see that I'm frustrated and it's all misread. Holidays are challenging. But that doesn't mean that my family members don't try to make it good for me.
So what are some of the challenges?
Well, you know, like in the past there have been comments on how many times I go to the fridge. Or my mum makes the best stuffing and I could eat that stuff for days. and I do emotionally eat when I go home because I'm really triggered. So comments on my weight or how I look is challenging for me. And you know, talk about how family members are doing, and you know, there is this kind of natural progression, I think, in a lot of Western society of you go to university within privileged Western society, I might add. And I feel like the longer I try and generate a business for myself and I'm away from that, I realize just how privileged my family are, and you know, many white families are, and you know, I realize how I don't have a lot of that material privilege, you know. So the kind of, I'm kind of talking in circles here, but the, you know, this just natural progression of you go to university or college, you graduate, you get a well-paid job, you progress within that job, you get married, you have children, you buy bigger houses and different cars. Just that whole, it feels like a conveyor belt of achievement. And I don't subscribe to that. That's not to say that I don't like some things to make me comfortable and I wouldn't turn away nice things, but I just look at things very differently. So I when that kind of conversation happens, it's not in a boastful way, but just, you know, like, oh, how's your kitchen renovation going? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, bloody hell, you know, my kitchen is the size of my finger, you know, and I can wash up while sitting on the toilet. And, you know, and then I'm just reminded of the fact that I chose to be a writer. And I wonder, actually, did I? Or did writing choose me?
Beautiful.
You know, it's just, you know, I am who I am, and my motivations in life are very different.
So the
big triggers for me are around communication, around certain perceptions of me. I think my family find it difficult to see me, that they're happy that I'm happy in some respects.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alano Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you. Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception.
Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back.
I don't believe that my family's intentions are, I do believe that they're well-intentioned.
Mm.
You know, is that they want to see me happy, but what they don't see is that my idea of happiness and success is different to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they can only measure that based on their own standards.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not that they're choosing to point out where I'm different. It's just that it is different to them.
Yeah.
So they're curious as to why it's different. We speak different languages. And I wonder if there's like a communications test, you know, about that, you know, or like a, you know, because I'm an empath too, you know, I feel things very differently. I see things differently. I, you know, my mum has always said it, you ask so many questions, Liv, and you know, and you're really analytical, and yeah, I am. That's the lens in which I see and communicate with the world.
Yeah, I love that you're a questioner.
It's who I am. Yeah, I do. I'm a what if and a how, not a, you know, I don't really like to follow rules because you should.
Mm.
I want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. So I think that goes back to the seen and heard part, right? Like if you know that someone appreciates your celebrations because they know how important it is to you versus an achievement that they think is important, right? Or if someone gives you advice based on what they think your values are rather than their own values and appreciate that you are who you are for you and that that's a good thing to have people who are different in the world and people who do question in the world, right? And people, and then we also need people who don't question and who just, you know, we need like soldiers, for example, you know, they need to follow the rules because we need something to get done, you know, or whatever. So there's different values. We need differences, and yet we tend to think that the way that we think is the right way. I'm guilty of that for sure. So let's talk a little bit about, I think, you know, some of what you're saying, I can really relate to. Other things, I think it would have been a little different for me. There's definitely, you know, comments about weight loss in my family, and, when I was younger, a little more extreme, my mom was, you know, more of a dieter when I was younger, and I was more of a dieter.
My mom still diets.
Yeah. My mom's actually, it shifted for her. She had cancer a year ago. I think it was a year ago, and she actually is completely healed from it, but it really shifted her focus from losing weight to feeling well and recognizing, I think seeing kind of her mortality made her realize that, you know, she didn't want to spend time focusing on how she looked. She wanted to focus on living longer and feeling well. But, you know, so she still maybe does some like food policing a little bit on what foods are good or bad, but she, it's shifted a lot and it's shifted slowly over the years as well. But, so we have less of that, but there's still kind of this proudness around losing weight, or if I've lost weight, then people want to comment on that. And, you know, it's interesting because this is a big one, I think, for a lot of people. I saw a post in one of the intuitive eating groups on Facebook about this topic. And what do you say when someone's proud of their weight loss, right? It's one thing when it's your body and you can kind of say, you know, this is triggering for me, or I'm not focusing on weight these days. I'm focusing on my health, or just asking people like you know, I really don't want to talk about my body or other people's bodies. But when someone comes up to you and they're like, I've lost 50 pounds, you know, or, and they're excited about it, you don't want to be like, well,
you don't want to poo-poo it, right?
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, what do you say to that? And so it was interesting. Some of the comments were around shifting. Well, how do you feel? Or, you know, one person in particular, the person had commented that their loved one was trying to lower their cholesterol. So they stopped eating a bunch of things and lost weight. And, you know, we were all saying, well, what about the cholesterol? Did it help the cholesterol or didn't it? You know, and she asked, like, do you feel better? And the person was like, well, not really, but I lost weight. So it's interesting kind of shifting it from, you know, the focus of weight to the focus of health and how do you actually feel? And so, you know, kind of how do we deal with the general talk about bodies? And I recently experienced this. I went to meet my biological family in Georgia, spend some time with them. And I went out to dinner with some family members and their family members. And so, you know, the other side of the family that I'm not related to. And the whole talk was about, actually, it was breakfast. Oh, we're at this breakfast place called Waffle House. And literally the whole time it was, you know, talking about weight. And so I didn't say anything. I just tried to shift the conversation. And then afterwards, I talked with my family member a little bit about their experience kind of growing up talking about that a lot and how that, you know, it was challenging and it did actually affect their body image. So, you know, sometimes I think it's good to face it dead on right in the moment. Other times I think it's good to kind of pause, you know, talk about it later, especially if it's not directly affecting me personally, but kind of having a plan for it has been really helpful for me. Like, I know I'm going to encounter this. I know I'm going to encounter people talking about bodies, talking about dieting, talking about weight loss. And it was so sad to me because we're here, we're at a place called Waffle House. Like, what are you going to eat? Right. You know, you get, I mean, my breakfast was like hash browns and sausage and cheese and, you know, like, and people are talking about losing weight. And I'm like, well, that's definitely not my goal. Like, my goal is to enjoy these friggin' hash browns and cheese, you know? So, you know, anyway, but it's interesting. So I did experience some of that. And the thing is, for me, the comments about weight loss are just as harmful. Well, not just as harmful. That's not true. They're also damaging to me, and triggering for me as comments about, you know, gaining weight or comments about, are you going to eat that, that kind of thing. But, you know, not as, I guess that wasn't really what I meant to say, but, you know, when you're saying you look great, you lost weight, we talked about this on an episode and it's really saying you look better thin, right? Or you look better smaller. And so, for me,
it just reinforces that your worth is attached to how you know, to your appearance.
But the flip side of that is even like commenting on food and commenting on, you know, or trying to get people to not eat or eat, you know, like all of these things are about kind of looking at your value and your worth, moralizing food and body, right? And so it's kind of interesting. And I think sometimes even trying to make people eat things that they don't want to eat, that really can lead to complex. And for me, that was huge because, you know, I have some serious health issues and I don't tolerate gluten well. And when I eat gluten, it exacerbates my health issues. And so there was a lot of years where I didn't want to say no, you know, when someone would offer me their famous cookie. And I didn't want to ask for special accommodations to be made or ask what the ingredients were in something or even serve food that was different. So I would serve a full Thanksgiving meal, even though I can't eat, you know, half of it because it would make me be ill. And after a long time of doing that, I finally decided I'm not doing this anymore and really had to set a boundary with myself. And I'm not going to make sure everybody's comfortable and everyone has the three kind of bread rolls that they want or the whatever, right? I'm just going to make the food that I can enjoy. And, you know, you and I did this the other day. We had a beautiful Thanksgiving meal that was just completely gluten-free. And, you know, it was, I mean, it was like, it was fantastic. There was no bread to be found. For some people, that would be really sad. They can bring their own bread, right?
Right.
So it was interesting. It was more, for me, it's been more about self-expectation and trying to make sure everyone else is comfortable and putting them all first above me and my health needs. And so that's been the thing that I've really had to shift is not having so many expectations of myself, not always hosting, and when I do host, like making something simple that works for me to eat too, or, you know, the drinking thing is a piece of that. Like I'm at a point in my recovery where I'm fine with alcohol being around, but I don't purchase and serve alcohol anymore
No.
You know, why would I take on that burden when I don't partake, right? So if people want to bring their own drinks, and then we actually say that, like, bring, you know, bring a potluck dish to share and bring whatever you want to drink. We're going to have some apple cider, you know,
yeah, or that whatever. Makes sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So my experience has been a little different, but I think similar in that recognizing that our value and our worth isn't dependent on these things, and being really intentional and setting up kind of a plan ahead of time has been really helpful for me. How about you?
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head though, when you said that it's about what is helpful and nurturing for us, right? And I think that's the purpose of this episode is to talk about, you know, what is most helpful for our holidays to protect our well-being. And I was just thinking about what you were saying around food, because, you know, oftentimes I will say that I don't eat gluten or dairy, and, you know, like a lot of times in my childhood, it's you get what you're given, you know, or if I've gone to visit family in New York, I'll hear, you're more than welcome here, but we're not going to stick to your silly diet. And, you know, and it's not like I too have autoimmune issues that are exacerbated by eating those foods. And also dairy, even though I don't have any issues with how I digest it, it gives me terrible acne. That, you know, I often will just, if I'm not feeling well, I sometimes sabotage myself and eat it. And then for months afterwards, I'm still trying to clear up my skin. So it's really, you know, it's about not abandoning myself in that process, like you've said.
I love that, not abandoning myself.
Really, yeah. If we can impart.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we can impart that anything on our audience, I think it's that, you know, just be true to you and honor your needs.
The honoring your needs. Oh, beautiful. That really boils down to the struggle, you know, boils down the answer to the struggle that I had for so many years with my family around the holidays and all the expectations and all the, you know, events. And especially if you start having like step parents and, you know, all these, we had so many families, and we had, one of the rules that we had around the holidays when our kids were younger was that we didn't leave the house Christmas morning. And occasionally we'd leave the house Christmas for dinner. But we did not leave the house. We'd go Christmas Eve. We'd do stuff the weekend before, whatever. But no, Christmas morning was for us and our kids to sleep as long as we want, to play as much as we want, whatever, relax, enjoy.
Yeah.
And that was really the one thing that I did that did honor a need, and it felt really good. And I did get flack for it. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it was so important to me, and I wasn't abandoning myself, right? I was honoring that need.
Yeah.
And it grew from there. It took a long time, and it still
maybe. Go on.
Oh, there still are times where I feel a lot of shoulds around, you know, different holidays or different, although now my kids are grown, so that makes a difference for me. But, you know, people are kind of asking me, there's been some transition in my life, and I might talk about this in an upcoming episode, but people have been kind of asking me, what are you going to do for Christmas? And, you know, it's like, I'm going to sleep in and then do whatever I feel called to do, I think. But I've been nervous to really just say that. Like, I'm not willing to sign up for anything, any expectations this year. I don't know how it's going to feel for me. So, yeah.
Same. And that's all I was going to say, too, is that, you know, let's not get wrapped up in the shoulds. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't make sense to you to go home to a family, you know, if your home is a different place today, don't go. You know, I joke about this a lot on Facebook, you know, how do you cope with difficult families over Christmas? Don't go. But that's the truth. Like, you do not have to go. It's an obligation that you feel that you have to go, but it's not true. You're an adult. You get to decide what you do today. This is about honoring what you need.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier for me to say don't go now I live in a different country.
Because of the expense and the time, people can be a little more understanding versus if you're 20 minutes away, what's your excuse really?
And it, you know, it's not just a whole day of travel. It's a different time zone. It's, you know, boarding my dog. It's all of those things. Yeah. So, yeah, it can be really challenging.
Yeah.
I would definitely encourage people to consider, like, is this something you actually want to do? Like, what needs of that does this meet of yours? Because if it doesn't, you might want to actually consider if you want to do it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think really the being intentional ahead of time, considering your energy, considering your wherewithal for it, and really deciding if it is worth it, and then continuing that intentionality and having strategies, you know, that you can kind of pull out of your toolbox, so to speak, anytime. Setting expectations in advance, like, I'm not going to come to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, or I'm going to come, but only for a couple of hours because my energy is really low, or I need to work during the holidays, or, I don't have the energy to, the holidays are just a hard time for me in my recovery, or whatever it is. Right. And being around alcohol, especially for a lot of people, you know, can be very triggering. And if you don't feel that you have the strength that you need to get through that experience without it being really harmful for you, then, honor, like you said, honoring your need there.
Yeah. And also, you know, think about the things that you can do. If you do decide to go, think about the self-care activities that you could take part in before you go. You know, what are you going to, or even afterwards, you know, what are you going to do to relax? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to manage your stress? You know, maybe you could meditate, maybe you could journal beforehand and afterwards, just a way of processing that stress. You know, maybe go for a long walk, or go for a swim, whatever works for you. Make sure that you kind of cement either side of the day with something that takes care of you.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if you have a therapist, schedule that appointment in advance.
Right.
But, you know, for me, it's a lot of times it's having kind of a sidekick. So thinking about, like, okay, I got to go to this challenging family event, and these are my people that I'm going to really hang around with, or, you know, even talking to them in advance and saying, hey, if I start getting stressed out, can we go for a walk, or can I pull you aside?
Yeah.
Or having phone a friend. That's kind of a famous, you know, cliche, but, having someone like, hey, I'm going to be at this thing, can I call you if, you know, things get rough? That way they know to kind of look out for your phone call, and, or having someone that you're going to debrief with afterwards. So, I feel like, you know, we've covered a lot. Is there anything that you want to make sure we share with our listeners?
No, I think we've covered everything. I mean, we did allude to, like, body boundaries, and we'd encourage you to listen to that episode if you feel that, you know, if that's something that concerns you about the holiday, that, you know, you might get some comments on your appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just remember that You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to explain why you're eating, or, you know, like, hunger, or explain why you're taking care of yourself, or why you're leaving early, or why you need a time out in your bedroom, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve to meet your needs.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. I think you're right. It's honoring your boundaries, honoring your needs, you know, being intentional with having a plan, and then not feeling like you need to explain yourself. And, you know, sometimes when we're setting things up in advance, it can be helpful to kind of offer a, you know, that maybe sometimes I feel anxious, right? Or something like that, so that people kind of have an idea, so they feel a little safer. But in the moment, being able to just do what you need to do is a form of self-care, but it's also, to me, it's a type of exercising your boundaries, right?
Yeah.
And if we have to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I just, you know, that, like, make an excuse or something, it's really kind of diminishing your boundary a little. And so we don't need to apologize for having needs and honoring them. And to me, it's actually something I really respect when I see someone doing that. And it gives me kind of it's like a sigh of relief, because I know I can trust them that if I need to take care of myself, I can too, you know? So in some ways I think it does.
And it can also have the opposite effect. You know, someone that doesn't feel able to express their own boundaries can get a little resentful at you for expressing yours. So yeah, be prepared for that too.
But that's about them, you right? know? Yeah.
It's absolutely about them. You know, it's really important that you stay true to you.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great episode. Thank you, everybody, so much yeah. for listening. And we hope whether you celebrate the holidays or not, that you're able to get some value out of this episode and that you have been encouraged to really honor your needs. Next week, like I said, we'll be talking about really creating a nurturing space for yourself during the holidays, whether that is with family or without. And then coming up, we'll be talking about how much of a gift this podcast has been. So we look forward to having you check out those episodes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, Your Recovery, Your Way. Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.